Welcome to The Telegram. I'm Tim Stanley. Bijan Ebrahimi's murder is a horror story for our time. Burned alive in front of his neighbours because they mistakenly thought he was a paedophile. We ask what this tells us, if anything, about class, community and culture in the darker corners of modern Britain. I'm joined in the studio by Telegraph blogger Dan Hodges, by the Director of Renewal David Skelton, and by the Daily Telegraph's Deputy Editor Benedict Brogan. On July 14th of this year, two men dragged the unconscious Bijan Ebrahimi onto his front garden, doused him in white spirit and set him on fire. They suspected this quiet Iranian immigrant of being a paedophile and had decided to, quote, take the law into their own hands. The incredible thing is that they were surrounded by a silent jury. Local residents watched from their windows and did nothing. What does this awful story tell us about modern Britain? Writing for the Daily Telegraph, Dan Hodges said that the story had punctured the left-wing myths about working-class solidarity, that it, quote, exposed the other side of working-class Britain, the intolerance, the suspicion of distinctiveness, the naked hatred of anything and anyone that does not conform. But also in the Telegraph, an angry David Skelton, the director of Renewal, said that Dan Hodges had, quote, slandered working-class Britain and called the piece offensive and misguided. So, Dan Hodges, can I start by asking you to explain what exactly your view is about what this story tells us about the underbelly of working-class life?
Well, I think it tells us two things. I mean, firstly, we in society and culturally continuously laud what we call simplistically working-class communities. And there are two aspects of that which I think this case throws into a very sharp relief. First, those who killed Mr. Ebrahimi, and perhaps equally, even more appallingly, just simply stood back and watched him be brutally murdered, were working class, and for some reason that is brushed under the carpet. And the second thing is, this was part of a community, and we talk consistently about the death of community in this country. Again, we praise the concept of community in this country, but there is also a dark side to the concept of community, and my God, have we not seen it in this case? I mean, you said in your introduction that he was killed because he was suspected of being a paedophile. I don't actually think he was killed because he was suspected of being a paedophile. I think he was killed because he was different, and people who are different, by definition, find themselves pushed aside
from the
concept of community and community as itself defines.
Okay, thank you. David Skelton, can you respond to that?
Well, I would say this is obviously a really unsettling, a horrible, horrific crime. But I think we need to be careful before using an isolated case like this to generalise about an entire community and entire class of people, as Dan seemed to do in his initial piece. What I would say about the phrase, about Dan talked about potential intolerance of people in working-class states, and there isn't a great deal of evidence to back that up. Indeed, the evidence says the opposite. More working-class people are likely to be involved in interracial relationships. That's, of course, partially because most immigration has been in the working-class areas. So working-class people are more likely to live, to work, and to marry and get in relationships with people of other races than any other class. And also, I was doing a lot of polling about the tolerance or otherwise of working-class people about their homosexuality. There was a Think Britain poll a few years ago that said that working-class people were much more likely to be supportive of equal rights for gay people than middle-class people. Although polls obviously differ about this, there's clearly a large element of support for gay marriage in every social group, including working-class Britain. And what I would say is the absolute vast majority of working-class people are tolerant, they're decent, and thoroughly horrified by this kind of act. And you get intolerance, you get these obscene crimes in every community, and it shouldn't settle us. We should be asking difficult questions about it, but we should not be generalizing entire communities.
Isolated example. Dan Hodges, how can you respond to that very good data that shows that really this is not representative of what working class life is like?
Well, no, I mean it's not an isolated example, and one could list a whole raft of cases such as this. I know certainly from the part of South East London I I live in. I mean, you know, another obviously, you know, infamous example is obviously the Stephen Lawrence case, where he, where a young black man was murdered by white members of the community, and that predominantly white working class community sort of closed ranks and assisted in covering up that appalling crime. And equally, I know in the part of southeast London I grew up, I mean, I had friends who had sort of interracial relationships, and if you went into a working class pub in my part of South London with your as a black man with your white girlfriend on your arm, you were basically knew where you were expected to go. So, I mean, one can use, I mean, as has been said, I mean, the polls point to different things, but it is quite clear, and we saw it in this case, and anybody who has any experience of growing up around or near or in a working class community knows that for all the, you know, the warmth and the solidarity that undoubtedly exists, there is also a degree of intolerance towards those that are seen to come from outside of that community, and that is part of the problem with this whole community construct that we seem to fall in love with, and that we seem to view through exclusively rose-tinted spectacles.
David, can you respond to that point? This idea that we are perhaps overlooking some of the sort of social and economic realities of this story because we're nervous about talking about class.
I don't think we're overlooking it, but something which really leaps out to me is every time something is written about this kind of case, it's often written with little practical experience of living on one of these estates. And that to me shows a level of disengagement in terms of politics, in terms of the media, with working class life, which I think is a big issue. I mean, if you look, for example, at voting turnout, 57% of unskilled working class voters turned out last time compared to 76% of middle class voters. And there is a sense that people living in Westminster, people kind of around the metropolitan bubble, as it's often called, don't really understand the realities of life. And the only time when life on council estates, for example, is written about is in highly denigratory ways, which I do think is concerning. Yes, there are worrying things that have happened, such as this case, which we should be really concerned about as a society. But no, we should not be using that kind of case to generalise about an entire group of people, most of which are thoroughly decent and absolutely horrified by these kind of cases.
What, in your opinion, then, I know you have to go, what, in your opinion, then, can we say about this case? What does this tell us, if anything, about our country?
I think we should be looking about what happened. We should be looking at what the role of the police was. And yes, we should be asking concerned questions about why such a horrific case was allowed to happen and what the community did. But we should not use this kind of case to denigrate an entire group of people. As I say, the vast majority of working class people are decent, tolerant, utterly shocked by this kind of case. As most interviews by people in the community said, that they were utterly shocked by what happened and really quite ashamed that happened in their estate. And you shouldn't use this kind of case to generalise about working class communities.
David Skelton, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Benedict Brogan, so far a lot of the conversation has been about class. Do you think that is the right angle to take on this at all?
Actually, the conversation has been about working class, and I want to look at the emphasis on the word working. I suspect that one of the things that, if we unpick what happened on this estate, is that it was the unworking classes that marked the makeup of this particular area. And it tells us something about how, in some parts of the country, the absence of work and also the absence of education, the crisis in the education system, has contributed to a complete loss of any kind of moral compass on the part of people who might 20, 30, 40 years ago have known better. I have a lot of sympathy with what David Skelton says, in the sense that at one level we shouldn't be overly surprised by this, in that human history and British society is not short of examples of communities, so-called, turning on outsiders, turning on others, and even killing them. And perhaps what this case tells us is it tells us that our education standards remain woefully bad, unemployment and worklessness contributes to a loss of any kind of moral sense, and that immigration continues to pose huge challenges to all manner of communities around the country.
But aren't these sorts of horrors actually universal and, if we're honest, a lot more common than we might think? I mean, you say 20 or 30 years ago, attitudes and standards might have been higher. I have to say, I'm not sure that's probably true. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we don't know that would have taken place that was went unreported 20 or 30 years ago. But there's also a large number of landmark cases a bit like this occurred back then. Myra Hindley, the Wests. There's always been an element of crime in our society, regardless of whatever the political or economic state of the country was.
Yes, the human capacity for inflicting horror on your fellow man remains undimmed and is something that is almost a constant in the story of humanity. So at one level, we're not surprising. I think that the thing that really brought out and I left people startled was the amazing contrast between the violence of what was done to Mr. Ebrahimi and what it was that he was up to. He was in many ways embodying three great British characteristics. He was an eccentric, which is a great British thing. He was just slightly different to everybody else. He was gardening. How more British could you be than tending your flower baskets? And he was doing another thing which we associate with sort of British civicness, which is that he was remonstrating with those who were trying to undo his work as a gardener. So he was in many ways embodying things that we recognise as being quintessentially of our national character. And he was doused in petrol and killed for it.
I can't help, Dan, but read into that a slightly Thatcherite paradigm. You have here a man who's trying to play by the rules and be a good citizen, and yet the community, composed of people who don't play by the rules, turns on him.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily argue that good citizenship is the sole preserve of Margaret Thatcher and those who supported her. But I mean, I think there is a broader point here, which is to pick up with what Ben said. I mean, I think what you're right to say that obviously issues such as this have been a constant in British society, and issues have been brushed under the carpet to an extent. But I think what is different now is it is certainly over the last 10 or 15 years. We have seen what I think you could say in shorthand terms is a crisis of community. This idea that community is under threat, community is being eroded, community is being lost, community spirit is dead. And to an extent that's true for reasons we all know, we're all very well aware of. But the problem is that is always seen as a unique positive. The community, the sense of community is always seen as a unique positive, and in many ways it is. But there are downsides to the concept of community, the sense of collective thought, the sense of a groupthink, a fear of those from outside of the community, an insularity, a set that the community sets its own rules. I mean, there was this appalling quote in relation to this incident when one of the people who had witnessed the attack said that they thought that whilst Mr. Ebrahimi was being verbally abused, or to an extent being physically abused, that they, in quotes, could live with that. What they thought was wrong was when he was doused in petrol and burnt alive. That was the sort of the right value judgment that the community had constructed for itself. And when our communities are constructing value judgments like that, then I think we have to ask some very, very hard questions indeed.
Ben?
It may be that we are getting distracted by talking about community, because to our ears, community has an incredibly sort of genteel middle-class connotation. And perhaps what we are talking about is not so much community as tribalism and tribes that sort of form to protect themselves, protect their interests. And in this case, if it is a tribalism based on public drinking and worklessness and rejection of anybody who is not part of that worldview.
And to me, it sounds like that's really not community working. I mean, again, as you say, there is a concept of community which is wholesome and nice and genteel, as you say. And it sounds to me like what was actually taking place in this estate was something else metacizing, something else coming together that was not quite like a community. It might look like a community, but it was really something about alienation resulting in a very ugly kind of groupthink. I don't necessarily think that is community.
But one of the features of the 21st century political and social discourse has been the use of the word community as a kind of catchphrase for describing people who share a common interest and what is always presented as a sort of positive view of life and a positive contribution to society.
Yeah.
Often that is a euphemism for what we would better describe as tribalism or communitarianism, where we're much more interested in protecting our own sectional interests and in shafting those who don't fit into our worldview, whatever that worldview may be. And that worldview could include the right to not work and the right to carry on in the streets and the right to chase immigrants down the passageways.
Personally, I felt that the ethics that were on display were rather like those of a prison. the scenario to me sounded rather like the kind of justice that gets meted out in a prison. This isn't really about real justice, of course. This is just the kind of justice people construct for themselves, often in order to justify their own poor behaviour. Dan, to what extent do all these people bear responsibility for their actions? Or do you suspect the left is going to try and say that this is somehow a social problem that must be dealt with via policy?
Well, I think the left is going to try and ignore the whole incident, you know, in its entirety. I mean, because it doesn't, as I say, fit the neat construct, which is the concept of, you know, this idyllic sort of working class solidarity that needs to be maintained. And I think there is another aspect to this as well, which is, you know, we constantly look for reasons for the decline of community. Many of them are external economic factors such as immigration, sort of other sort of changes in the general sort of socio-demographic of the country. But there is another factor which people don't look at, which is actually one of the reasons in many instances that communities are dying out, is actually a lot of people are choosing to opt out of those communities. A lot of people from the younger generation find that the whole concept of community to be very claustrophobic, to be very oppressive. They don't want to grow up in the same area that their parents and grandparents grew up in. They don't want to go to the same pubs and talk to the same people about the same issues. There is a sense now that people do actually want to be diverse.
But if you're like Mr. Ebrahimi and you leave one community, uproot yourself, I don't know what the circumstances are of what he was doing there, but if you are taken out of one community and put into the middle of another that's not your own community, presumably you're then cut off from lots of support groups that might otherwise have been there to look after what was obviously a vulnerable man.
Yes, but that's the point, isn't it? Surely we should all be a support group for one another, regardless of whether or not we fit what is perceived to be this, you know, this wonderful community dynamic. And, you know, it is. I mean,
the reality is, people form relationships with people they understand and recognise, and have a connection with.
I think one of the rich part of British society is that actually we form relationships with people who are very different from ourselves, who come from a range of backgrounds, and a range of life experiences. That's what I value in terms of the Britain I know. And it's not actually.
But this story illustrates that for many people, that's not what happens. Ben?
I'm struck by the idea that this should in any way become a political issue. In a funny way, you could argue that it is so out of the ordinary, but also so part of just human history, the capacity to suddenly turn on an individual and rip them to pieces, that it's neither a matter for the left or the right, or either their fault or their responsibility. I think what is striking about this event, this horrible event, is how it has passed from the public consciousness and the public debate within a matter of days of it happening. And it basically tells us that there are somehow some issues, whether it's the murder of Stephen Lawrence or the murder of Jamie Bulger, which somehow become things that politicians rally around to make a point about or to force a debate about the state of British society. What I think is particularly terrible is that an innocent man was burnt to death on the streets of England, and apart from us in this room, no one else is talking about it.
Benedict Brogan, Dan Hodges and David Skelton, thank you all very much.
For more opinion and commentary, you can find us at telegraph.co.uk.